Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Cinco de Mayo is celebrated in both Mexico and the United States on May 5th, but May 4th also figures into the story. Our guest, Felix Montalera, grew up in Puerto Rico and is a longtime podcast producer who created the Latin Podcast Awards in 2017. He joins us from Montgomery to talk about Cinco de Mayo and those podcast awards. Felix, thank you so much for joining us here at Troy Public Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.
Felix, we are looking ahead to Cinco de Mayo, and everybody thinks it's May the 5th, but you have done some research and find that there was a May 4th involved. What's the story?
Well, the story is that in 1933, our president at the time, Franklin D. Roosevelt, decided that he wanted to claim this new policy for the United States to be friendlier to our neighbors, our neighboring countries. And on May 4th, he declared this good neighbor policy. Therefore, on May 5th, it was celebrated based on the one activity from Puebla.
Puebla is sort of a suburb of Mexico City, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Puebla is a little town outside of Mexico City, and it went through a battle, which they won, in the Mexican-French War. And that's where the Cinco de Mayo Day derives from. The Americans, we came up with this great Cinco de Mayo celebration in honor of FDR's good neighbor policy. Mexico Independence Day is in September, and I think it's a September 16th. We celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month here in the United States from 15th of September through the 15th of October. This is when most of the Latin American countries have their Independence Day.
Historically, how did the U.S. relate to these countries?
Well, back in the 1800s, there was a doctrine called the Monroe Doctrine, which Monroe was one of our former presidents, one of our first presidents of the United States. They claimed that we were a little bit too tough on all these countries. They claimed that we were taking their land, invading their land, just taking over. And it was more for industry, like the sugar industry in Cuba. It was known as the era of the United States and the Big Stick. So when FDR came on board, he wanted to soften this image of the United States. And he wanted really to be friendly because you get more with sugar and honey than with a big stick.
So how did that translate into popular culture?
Carmen Miranda is one of these actresses that came up during this era from 1933 through 1945. And Carmen was Hollywood's version of the good neighbor policy, right? They wanted to show, hey, this is the culture. And Carmen was the one that wears this, I don't want to say the brand, but it's a banana brand. And there's this hat full of fruits. Literally, this is called the Tutti Frutti hat.
And when you bring it into the latter part of the 20th century, what do we have?
Well, in the 1960s, it becomes to gain popularity amongst the Mexican Americans in Chicago, which we really know kindly as Chicanos, no? It was brought up just to build community pride. According to an article in National Geographic, they say that it surpasses St. Patrick's Day and the Super Bowl celebration in sales of spirits. So what do you think about that?
When I think about Cinco de Mayo, I think about the Ballet Folklorico, bringing in the arts to this. What do you think about?
Wow, you're absolutely right. When it comes to this, I think about the great food and the culture that is brought to us from a Mexican perspective. There's many countries out there and there's many cultures out there. And this is a time where we can explore not only the culture, but the arts that comes along with all this.
Felix, say in Montgomery County, about how many folks are Hispanic?
Within the county of Montgomery, there's about 10,000, almost 11,000 Latinos, Hispanic, or resident. And I truly believe that that has to do with the employment that we have out in the county.
Define for your listeners Latino and Hispanic. What's the difference?
Well, Latinos is a term that we self-identify, that we give ourselves, right? Hispanic is a term that was created by the U.S. government to identify non-white Hispanics or Latinos or people. Because Latinos, we have all races within a Latino. But Hispanic is a word given by the government. And it also has to do with the language that we also speak Spanish.
Felix, let's turn our attention to your own personal background. Tell us about your parents.
My parents were from Puerto Rican descent. They moved to New York back in the 1960s, and they worked hard. They did factory work, and at a certain point, they decided to move back to Puerto Rico, and I had this lovely upgrowing between New Jersey, New York, and Puerto Rico.
You also are well known as the founder of the Latin Podcast Awards. You started this in 2017.
Well, when podcasting started 20 years ago, immediately after that, the English-speaking population or the industry of podcasting started their own awards. And I saw this lack of representation when it comes to getting awards because of the language barrier. So they had all these awards and they had one that was international. And I noticed that people like me, I do most of my podcasting in Spanish. If I was to compete against these English-speaking podcasts and the only category that I had available was the international, I probably would lose. So I said, let me talk to these folks and see if we can connect and start the Latin Podcast Awards and give a good amount of recognition to these great podcasters, which mainly are based in the United States, believe it or not.
What are a couple of the topics that you've been seeing and hearing about?
We have the infamous true crimes. That is one of those genres that people just love. But we also have some educational podcasts. We also have self-help podcasts. Those are the main categories where podcasting is being created right now. But there is a lot of great productions out there when it comes to telling stories, the narrative story.
Well, bring us back, Felix, to Cinco de Mayo. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, when it comes to Cinco de Mayo, just remember that it is a festivity when it comes to learning different cultures. And I really would exhort anyone to explore these cultures, you know, not just Mexican culture, but these other cultures, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Cuba. We're all kind of similar, but not the same.
Can you give us a website so that your listeners can find out more about the Latin Podcast Awards?
LatinPodcastAwards.com. Actually, we're open for registration right now. We have a great opportunity to get these podcasters recognized. And remember, you don't have to speak Spanish to be in the Latin Podcast Award, nor be Latino to be part of the Latin Podcast Awards.
You yourself are a podcast producer. You've been doing this for several years now. What is the average length of a podcast?
But my answer to that always, as long as you do not bore the listener. But there are studies that say anywhere between 18 to 24 minutes is a good podcast because that will be the commute, the average commute in the United States.
Felix, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to be here with you.
That was Felix Montalero joining us from Montgomery. And thank you for joining us for In Focus today. In Focus is also a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is Troy Public Radio.